I am going to invite you at this time, if you could be so kind to join me. I'm going to read one verse that God has laid upon my heart, found a very familiar verse in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Amen. If you don't have it on your Bible or your Bible app, you can read this very familiar passage with me on the screen. It says this way, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Somebody say amen. I said, somebody say amen. Gonna speak for a few moments today on the thought, soaring, running, walking. Soaring, running, walking. We're going to go into prayer right now. We're going to ask for God to speak to us. The Lord has laid some things in my heart. I want to hopefully take my time to break some things down. I believe there is a kernel of truth. There is a principle of growth that God wants us to see today from His Word. Why don't we pray? Father, we thank You. We love You today, God, for Your presence that abides in this house of worship, this house of prayer. And we're asking, God, that as we transition, God, to the hearing of Your Word, that same anointing, God, that has permeated the sounds, the music, the worship, God, would increase upon the hearing of Your Word. Anoint our understanding, God, so that he who has an ear would hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Anoint my lips of clay so that every word that comes out of my mouth, God, would be edifying and glorifying to Your name. We give You the glory, give You the thanks. We declare this right now, God. Strengthen somebody today, Lord. Lift somebody up from where they are, God, and help them, God, along that journey. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray, amen, amen. You can be seated in the presence of God. Isaiah 40 and 31 is one of the most beloved verses in all the Bible. We quote it. We share it. We see it printed all over the place, right? Magnets on our refrigerators at home, our calendars, posters, coffee mugs. It's one of those types of verses that we cling to, we love to repeat. And there's something quite unusual about the structure of the verse that I've noticed, but I've never really dug into, paid attention until the Holy Spirit brought it to my attention recently. And I want you to notice the order of the verse. It talks about flying or soaring, running, and walking. Now, if you think about it, friend, church, brother, sister, that think about it, this doesn't follow the natural progression. Human logic expects progression to build up to a climax. In fact, we will say sometimes to someone hoping to achieve something greater in their life, maybe a promotion at the job or some area of success that they're striving for physically. Sometimes we'll tell them, you know, hey, you gotta crawl before you walk, right? How many of you ever heard that before? Or we might say, you know, you gotta walk before you run, right? And we say that because that's the natural progression of things. And it's very true. Crawling before walking, walking before running, and certainly running before flying. And if I was to write this verse, which I didn't, that probably would have been my perspective. You start slow, And then you gradually build up to something much higher. I think that's what the advice most of us would give to anybody trying to do anything in life. No matter if it's a spiritual thing, a private, personal thing, that's the general advice. That's just generally good advice. Amen? Start slow and you work your way up. You progress. But here Isaiah flips it around. And instead, he writes the reverse order. And I want to ask the question, why? It's not because he's describing or he's not describing natural progression as we have come to know it. He's describing spiritual maturity. And I want you to know that God, today, I might preach today, but I also just might teach this thing because there are some really good things I want to get to. Somebody say, that's all right. Amen. God isn't just concerned with how high you can fly. He isn't just preparing you for mountaintop moments. He's training you instead for a daily walk. A daily walk. I know that doesn't sound very exciting, but just bear with me for a moment. Isaiah's verse isn't the first time that God does things in reverse. God is a paradoxical God in many ways. Don't forget, he's the same God who shrunk Gideon's army before going into battle with the Midianites. He did the opposite of what Gideon wanted. He wanted a bigger army, and God shrunk it down. He's the same God who chose David over his stronger, older, bigger brothers to be anointed the next king of Israel. He is the God who said things such as, "The last shall be first, and the first shall be last." Who said, "Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." The same God who said, "Humble yourself and God will exalt you." You see, this goes against everything that the natural world or natural life is telling us. But over and over again, Scripture shows us that God's power flows in the opposite direction of human logic. So just when you think you've got God figured out, he does something in reverse that says, wait a minute, this wasn't in that best-selling self-help success book that I read. This wasn't in that course that I took. This wasn't what my neighbor told me or what my friend said or my loved one. Why is God putting things in reverse when I'm trying to get ahead? He is the God who chose the foolish to confound the wise, the weak to confound the mighty. See, God doesn't work like we do. Somebody say amen. Amen. He doesn't work like we do. He doesn't think like we think. He doesn't operate the way we do. He chooses the underdog. He goes for the least likely. He does things in reverse. And so when Isaiah writes about how God will renew our strength to those that wait on him, and he begins to draw this picture for us about soaring and then running and walking, he's actually revealing a heavenly pattern to us. He's showing us how God works in our lives. And if you're not careful, you can make the mistake of misreading, misunderstanding what God is actually doing and waste your time getting angry, upset, either with God or with man, over whatever perceived lack of progress you're seeing in your life. Whether it's a physical thing, a spiritual thing, whatever that thing might be. And so Isaiah reveals to us once again, like others in Scripture, that God works in the reverse order. But the message is clear to us today. And this is what I hope to encourage you with and direct you with today, is that God, no matter what level we're at, no matter what season, God gives us strength for every season. Why don't we clap our hands and let's just thank God for that. Amen, somebody. Gives us strength for every season. It isn't that the eagle's wings are better than the walking legs or the running legs or vice versa. It isn't that one has a higher virtue than the other. It's just that God works in our lives through different seasons, and strength is needed for different dimensions of life. And so why don't we begin today with that first dimension of strength that we need, and that's soaring strength. And soaring strength is needed so that we can be courageous. Someone say, courageous. We need soaring strength to be courageous. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. This is the strength. He's describing the strength to rise above. This is when God lifts you out of something. When he gives you supernatural power and perspective. When he carries you beyond what you can do on your own. This type of strength you will undoubtedly need at some point in your life. Maybe not every day. Maybe not today, brother, sister. Maybe not even tomorrow or this week. But I guarantee that if you keep living, you're going to need this kind of strength at some point. You're going to need it when you get that diagnosis that there's no cure. Woo. You're going to need it when they hand you that pink slip, terminating, laying you off at your job. You're going to need it when you get news from a loved one or a family member that doesn't sit well and kind of goes against what you believe. You're going to need it for a lot of situations in life that presents an impossibility for man. These are those eagle moments, and I thank God for them, hallelujah, where that supernatural strength invigorates us, lifts us from where we are, and takes us to places in the spirit, in life, that we could have never arrived to on our own. Let me tell you a little bit about eagles today. Hallelujah. I could preach a whole message on eagles, but eagles are like no other bird in the animal kingdom. You know that they don't flap their wings like pigeons and sparrows. You never see an eagle getting ready to fly and start fluttering his wings all crazy, like, I'm getting ready to fly, you know? You want me to see you do that again? No, hallelujah. You don't see them doing that, brother or sister. They don't flap their wings. In fact, there's no other bird created by God in this world that flies quite like an eagle, because what an eagle does, it will find a place at the cliff, at the edge of the rock, or its nest, and all the eagle will do was spread its wings. Amen. It spreads its wings, and then it waits for the current to rise. And when the current rises, with its wings spread, it simply lets the wind do the lifting. Hallelujah. It lets the wind catch underneath its wings, and it waits for the wind. It dare not just jump off the cliff.
You say, well, I'm an eagle after all. I know how to do this and just jump off and take a nosedive. No, the eagle is smart enough to wait for the wind to begin to blow. And when that wind blows, it recognizes it's time to spread my wings. Because what's about to happen next has got nothing to do with how strong I am, how gifted I am, how knowledgeable I am. Everything that happens next is about how powerful the wind is underneath my wing. I've come to tell you that's a picture of what happens in the Holy Ghost. When you need a miracle from God, when you need a divine breakthrough from God, it's not going to be medicine. It's not going to be your lawyer. It's not going to be your neighbor. It's not going to be anybody else. It's going to be you responding to the wind that God is blowing in your life. And if you are spiritually wise enough, you won't let the wind pass you by. My God, somebody ought to give the Lord some praise today. You will spread your wings and begin to worship and thank God for what he's going to do. Why don't you give God some praise this afternoon? This is what the Hebrews experienced when God brought them out of Egypt. They didn't come out of Egypt on their own strength. They would have been stuck there if God never moved. But the Lord told them this in Exodus 19:4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings. And I brought you to myself. God said, what I did, you had nothing to do with. I'm the one that sent the 10 plagues. I'm the one that defeated Pharaoh's magicians. I'm the one that parted the Red Sea so that you can walk across dry ground and see Pharaoh's armies drown underneath all that water. I'm the one that did that. Don't you ever forget that it wasn't you. It wasn't your good looks. It wasn't the school you graduated from. It wasn't the family that you were born into. It was none of those things. It was the fact that I put you on my wings and I miraculously brought you out. I don't know, there might be somebody here today that needs soaring strength in your life. You might need the courage to believe that God's going to do the impossible. And I've come to tell you, just keep waiting on the Lord. And if you wait on the Lord, how many of you are waiting on a miracle? I'm waiting on God. If you will wait on the Lord, he will give you soaring strength. Yes. And he'll do the impossible. So God gives us those eagle moments. I don't know about you, but I love those eagle moments. The disciples of Christ, three of them, they loved the eagle moments so much when they went up with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. They told the Lord, do we have to leave? Why don't we just build the temple right here? I don't want to go back down the mountain. And Jesus said, no, we got work to do. We got to go back down the mountain. I don't know about you, but when I'm on the eagle's wings, man, I don't want to come down. I want to stay there. And we want to stay there. But that's not reality. That's not spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is not running from one miracle to the next, my friend. God's a good God, and he will bless, and he will do miraculous things. But that's not spiritual growth. There's another level. There's another dimension of strength that'll help us, because soaring doesn't last forever. That is running straight. Someone say running strength. And we need running strength. Why? So that we'll maintain godly passion to do what God has called us to do. They shall run, Isaiah says, and not be weary. That word weary is significant. It doesn't mean tired, like the way we think it, physically. There's a different type of fatigue. He's not talking about physical tiredness. He's talking about weariness of the soul and the heart. Spiritual maturity takes us from the eagle's heights. It takes us from soaring levels to running levels. Why? Because like I said a moment ago, you cannot live off high moments alone. You cannot fulfill your purpose and destiny just going from one high to the next. And those that try to do that ultimately crash and burn. Their highs are real highs and their lows are real lows. And you got to scrape us off the floor to get back up to there because they haven't discovered running strength. The whole point of high points is to inspire us, not to stay there, because we can't stay there, but to motivate and inspire us to run vigorously with everything that we have towards God's call in our life. There may be somebody here today, hear me in the Holy Ghost, your frustration is not anything other than you waiting on God to do something he's already done. Your progress, your growth is not because of God, not because of anybody else. It's the simple fact that you're spreading your wings at a time where you ought to be running. Woo, my God. Waiting for the wind to blow at a time where you ought to be running. Running with what? Running with purpose, running with passion, running to do something. You see, when God calls you, he expects you to run. Amen, somebody. When he calls you, he expects you to run. Whew, hallelujah. Not to fly, not to catch an Uber, amen, but to run. Amen. With everything. You see, in the Bible, running correlates with fulfilling a divine assignment. Often when you see a runner, it's because they've got a divine purpose. In Habakkuk, the Lord said these words in chapter 2, verse 2, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. The word of the Lord was, I've got a vision. I've got a mission, I've got an assignment, but I can't give this to a walker or a flyer. I need a runner. I need somebody who's determined. I need somebody who's got their mind made up. I need somebody who is laser focused. I need somebody who's got their eye on the prize. I need somebody who's undistracted by the affairs and the emotions and the inner personalities of life. I need somebody whose sole objective is to get to where exactly I'm calling them to go. Woo, my God. Let me tell you, not everybody's a runner. Not everybody is a runner. And the reason they're not a runner, well, I'll get to that in a moment, but things can weigh us down. But here's the point. Running is the act of passion. It's what we need to get the job done. The Bible, you know, the Bible's got some famous runners. Got some famous runners. Notable runners. Like, how about when Elijah? There's a story when Elijah, Bible says he outran a chariot. I don't know if he was wearing Nikes or Adidas, but that boy was running. And he was running so fast, he outran a chariot. It was like outrunning a car. How do you do that? Supernatural strength. God will give you the strength to run. And you know what you're going to do? Man, I could preach on that too. You will outrun. Whoo, hallelujah. You will outrun, outperform, not because of you, but because of the strength, the blessing, the favor that God has given you to those things that are more qualified than you. What's faster, a human runner or a chariot with a horse? Chariot with a horse? That's what on the outside should be faster. But God, when he strengthens you to run the race that he's called you to run, you will be able to do things that man cannot explain. Woo, my God, I'm getting excited now. You'll be able to outrun things you have no business outrunning. How about David? He ran towards Goliath. He said, give me a shot at this guy. Everybody is crying and sad and miserable. He ran towards Goliath. That's what you do when you've got purpose. Oh, hallelujah. The prodigal's father, when he was coming home, the Bible said he ran out to meet his son out in the field. Why did the father run? Because he was on a mission. He said, I got to meet my son where he is. And that's what running will do. You've got a purpose. You've got a mission you've got to fulfill. Philip, he ran to the chariot and was able to witness to that Ethiopian eunuch and convert him to Christianity. He ran. Let me tell you, you can't fly to these places. There are certain things in God you can't be carried there. You've got to run. But again, as I said a moment ago, prematurely, but I said, but there are many that cannot run, or they want to run, but they can't Why? Because they allow things to weigh them down. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:1, it tells us, lay aside. Let us lay aside. Someone say, lay aside. Come on, say, lay aside. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run our race. Let us run with endurance or patience the race that is set before us. And he is telling us, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, is painting a picture of a runner. He said, don't be like those runners that get weighed down with the affairs of life, that get weighed down with issues and burdens and cares, and also with sin and disobedience. He said, don't be weighed down because you've got a race to run, and you cannot let the... I feel today that somebody has got to take off those things that have been weighing you down. Another translation says, strip yourself. In the Amplified Bible, strip off those things and throw aside every encumbrance. I've come to preach to somebody here today, whether it's a person, a passion, a thing, a material thing, a spiritual thing, whatever it is, if it's getting in the way of you running your race, God is calling you to strip it off of your life so that you can run vigorously for the Lord. Hallelujah. Strip it off. Don't blame the devil for things you haven't stripped off your life. Don't blame anybody. Don't blame your neighbor. Don't blame the church. Don't blame anybody. Don't blame anybody for the things that you haven't stripped off your life, and old mindsets and old attitudes and old emotions and old things and sin and disobedience and addictions and bad habits. These are things today that God said, I'm going to give you strength to strip those things off of your life. Why? So that you can run your race with endurance. Bible says that he who endures to the end, amen? And Mark, he who endures to the end shall be saved. I don't want to just start my... A lot of people start the race and they don't finish strong, brother. You know this? They don't finish strong. They're sprinters. God's not looking for sprinters. He's looking for marathon runners. Hallelujah. Amen. He's looking for long distance runners. You know, people with stamina, people that can keep on running. I've been running, I've been going, and I'm going to reach my destination. Hallelujah. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I've got a vision to carry. How many of you, God has given you a vision for your life? Amen. If you don't have a vision, God wants to put a vision in your heart for your life. I've got a vision to raise a godly family. I got a vision to have a healthy marriage. I've got a vision to build the kingdom of God. I've got a vision to build a career that is Christ-centered. I've got a vision to do these things for the Lord. And I've got to run with everything that I have, and I can't let nothing get in the way. Am I talking to some runners today? Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord some praise. Am I talking to some runners that I've got to run this race? So Isaiah, in his reverse order, which makes sense in heaven, starts with flying. In the middle, he gets to running. And then finally, he brings us to the third dimension of strength. He talks about walking. I want to just, for, if you will allow, give me a few more moments, please, to talk about walking strength. And you need walking strength. Why? Not necessarily to be courageous or to be passionate like the others, but to be faithful. Amen. Somebody say, faithful. He said, they shall walk and not faint. Notice he didn't use the word that he used for running, not be weary, but not faint. There's something to that. Isaiah's reverse order culminates. It ends in a way that, I'll be honest, if this were a movie, it would be like anticlimactic. It would be like, that's not how it's supposed to end. We're supposed to end, you know, with the trophy, you know, parading around the football, you know, those sports movies and that. I mean, we're supposed to end on cloud nine. But here, he ends with the act that many of us would just consider boring. Walking. After you have soared, after you have ran, Walking just doesn't feel quite as exciting. Let's be honest today, amen. Not as exciting as flying like an eagle. Not very glamorous. But let me tell you that the real test, and this is what God marked in my spirit to present, to teach, preach here today. The real test of maturity is not how high you can fly, nor how fast you can run, but how faithfully you can walk. Everybody wants to fly. Some people want to run. But it's hard to find people who want to walk. It's not glamorous, not flashy. Wouldn't want to post it on Instagram, hashtag walking. It's not very attractive. We'd rather post hashtag soaring, soaring for Jesus. Wow, brother, I want to be like you. But in my world, I don't know about your world, walking is the best measurement of how I'm doing spiritually. Not flying, not even running, but walking. No one claps for it, but let me tell you today, amen. Walking in the Spirit, I don't just mean walking in general, while it's good for our health, but walking in the Spirit over a lifetime, not in spurts, not in just seasons, but over a lifetime is the most faithful movement of all. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I feel like I brought a few of you down right now, but I'm gonna lift you back up in the Holy Ghost. Hey, as I get ready to close, amen. I've seen people, been in church my whole life, and I thank the Lord for that. Ministry, almost 25 years. Not perfect, made mistakes just like everyone else. And I've seen others make mistakes, and I've seen a lot. And I tell you this, I've seen people fly. I've seen people fly, and I'm talking about spiritual. I've seen people fly who never learned to walk. I've even seen people run. I mean, man, like Elijah did, put on the burners, you know? I'm like, man, we both started at the same, and they're way over there, and I'm still back here. It's like the tortoise and the hare. Man, they're strong runners in the Lord, but never learned to walk. People who can fly high, people who can run to and fro, busy, 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 wow, but lack spiritual disciplines. Are you also with me today? I said, are you with me? Soaring. Soaring. I came to preach about all three, but the emphasis here is in walking. Soaring takes courage. Running takes passion. But walking takes faith. Paul said, we walk, for we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, it takes faith to keep walking day after day. My Lord. It takes faith to keep walking. I didn't come here to preach you. If you need a miracle, God can give you one. But we got people who get their miracles and they never get faithful. Got people who run, but when they stop running, they're not faithful in the little things that God calls them to do. We're not here to downplay those things at all. But God is trying to get all of us, myself included, everybody, to walking strength. You need walking strength today. Why? You need to learn how to walk, brother and sister, when things don't go your way. Amen. You need to learn how to walk. Keep doing your spiritual disciplines, prayer, fasting, reading your Bible, living holy, maintaining your standards, all of these things when life doesn't go your way. It's not glamorous. It's not flashy. No one's gonna, you know, throw you a party over it. But you know who notices? Someone say, who? He notices. You know, there was a man in the Bible named Enoch. This man made it in the Bible. Bible doesn't record any miracle. There are no soaring moments recorded in the Bible. He never called fire down from heaven, never performed a miracle. There's not even any running moments in this man's life. We don't see him building any temples or carrying out some important task. All the Bible says about this man is that he walked. And Enoch walked with God. That's it. You can live a successful Christian life even if you never soar to the highest mountains, even if you never run with the best of them, but if you just walk, my God, with God, day after day after day, when it's in season and when it's out of season, when it's trending and when it's not trending, when it's fashionable, when it's not fashionable. If you just keep walking with him, you know who's going to notice? Would you stand with me today? God's going to notice. He's going to notice. Put the scripture back up in Enoch. He's going to notice. And Enoch walked with God. And you know what God did? He took him straight to glory. God said, I am so impressed with how you walk. You're faithful. You just keep doing the normal stuff you're supposed to do as a believer. And because you keep doing that, I am so impressed with your walk. You could have given up. You could have fainted a long time ago. Don't you think Enoch had problems in his life? Sickness, disease. He lived in the same broken world that you and I live in. He didn't get a pass for those things. He didn't live in a bubble. He had to deal with the same issues of life. And God was so impressed. You keep showing up Sunday after Sunday. You keep praying every morning. You don't give up. You just keep walking. And God was so impressed. He said, you know what? I can't wait till you die. I'm going to take you right now. And so he's the only man in the Old Testament that just escaped death altogether. He was raptured. That's the power of a walk. And if you keep walking, you know what's going to happen? David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no. He didn't say I fly. He didn't say I run. He said, I'm just walking through it right now. Some of you are in a valley today. Oh, hallelujah. Would you begin to press right now into the Spirit? Would you begin to open up your heart to another level in God's Spirit today that he wants to work in your life? You're in a valley, some of you. Some of your valleys right now, they're lower than your neighbors, or they're darker than your friends, but or everybody's got their own. alone, but you're walking through a valley and you feel like almost like you almost want to faint. Like you're just like, how many, I don't know if I could take it another day. I don't know if I can keep smiling the way I have. I don't know if I can keep worshiping the way I have. I don't know if I can keep giving the way I have. Now, especially since they cut back my hours at work and, you know, they're talking layoffs and economy and all that. You know, I'm about to be replaced by AI and all this stuff. I don't know. Okay. And I'm kind of nervous. Should I keep tithing? Should I keep? And you just keep, you know, they got all these thoughts coming to you. I don't know if I can do it or not. I'm just about at the end of how far I can go. I've taken all I can take. I'm getting tired. I'm not sure. I'm starting to get weary. But my Bible says that if you will wait on the Lord, woo, shalalamakanda, He will renew your strength. And you will walk. And you will not faint. You're not going to quit. You're not going to give up. I wonder if there's a walker, if there's a runner, if there's a flyer here today that says, I need God. If you need more of God's strength, I want you to begin to close your eyes. And this altar will be open right now. If there's anybody today that wants to come because God wants to give you new strength this afternoon. Oh, He wants to give you new strength. He wants to give it. Maybe you need eagle's wings. He said, Pastor, I've been walking, but today I need to get on the eagle's wings. God wants to lift you up to a whole nother level. Why don't you spread your wings and let the wind do the work? Hallelujah. Oh, somebody here, you need to get your run back. Oh, God wants to strengthen your legs in the spirit so that you can run. Come on, pick up your calling again. Pick up your purpose again. Pick up your gift that you laid down. Pick up your ministry that you put aside. Pick this thing up and let's run for the Lord. Let's run for Jesus. Oh, I feel like I'm talking to somebody right now. And if you want to walk like you've never walked, you're saying, Pastor, I have flown and I have ran, but I am struggling in my daily walk. God is calling you right now. Be strengthened in the Lord. Be strengthened in the Lord. Be strengthened in your convictions. Be strengthened in your spirit. Be strengthened with your disciplines. Be strengthened with your walk. Be strengthened with your talk. Be strengthened.